Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Catholic Singles. Every day, hundreds of Catholic singles join CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love. Breadbox Media listeners get 20% off by using the promo code BREADBOX when they register. Come be our next success story at CatholicSingles.com. Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Welcome to the Will Within podcast. This is your home for shared stories of hope, perseverance, will, and inspiration. Join us today as we share another story that brings to life the underlying beat of our lives. Consider us your virtual friends. Let's get inspired.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Will Within podcast. I'm your host, Regina Pontus. My guest today has lived a giving life and has been rewarded for his ministry and service to Christ. He has dedicated his life to entertain the elderly community for over 30 years. He is the recipient of the Giraffe Award. I know the name sounds interesting, but we'll get into that explanation. The Mother Teresa International Laureate Award, and the International Peace Award. He is the epitome of St. Teresa of Avila prayer entitled, Christ Has No Body Now But Yours. Please enjoy my recent chat with the founder of Renaissance Enterprises, Bob Rowe. Welcome, Bob. I'm so excited that you're here. Thank you so much for offering to talk to me.
I'm so excited to be here and to talk to you and your listeners. Yeah.
I wanted to talk to you because I saw your outreach. It was such a unique outreach for the elderly, and I wanted you to explain that. I also wanted you to explain the wonderful awards that you got, like the Graff Award in 96 and the prestigious Mother Teresa Laureate in 2006, and then the International Peace Award. My God, you're amazing. But let's start at the very beginning. Tell me about your history, your childhood. How you got into music, secular first, and then into Christian music?
Boy, I don't know. Do we have about 10 hours here? Okay, well, I'll try to put it in a nutshell, which was not too hard to do. You know, it's a basic story, but a different kind of story.
I think it's inspiring, though.
Thank you. I went to Catholic school for 12 years, and I became involved in the home seminary program, and part of the aspect of being a part of that was going around to visit the shut-ins and the nursing homes with the associate pastor of the parish. And right from the very beginning, I was smitten with the plight of the elderly and people who were kind of in an institution and cut off from society, and I could see the great loneliness there. And it was something that always stuck in my heart. And during that time in high school, I taught myself to play the guitar after studying piano for a long time, and was really caught up in the folk music movement and the early Vatican II liturgical changes in the music and more folk-oriented songs about our love for God and Jesus. And it kind of progressed from there after high school when I started doing work in nightclubs to pay the bills. I was still not very fulfilled, even though I enjoyed the interaction with the audiences. So I started taking my guitar and going into the local nursing homes on my own, and right away I fell in love with it. And so it wasn't until about the late 80s that I decided to go out on a limb and talk to some of the local foundations about possibly organizing this into more of a full-time effort. And one of the foundations in our community, the Irving S. Gilmore Foundation, said that it was a great idea and that they would assist us with startup money if I would be willing to form a nonprofit corporation and get a board of directors and enlist some of my fellow entertainers. So the rest, as they say, is history. And I continued to play secular music in clubs and things right up until, you know, about 15, 20 years ago, and I still do a few now, but that became really a full-time endeavor with all of the work involved in running a nonprofit.
Your
and the funny thing, Regina...
Like, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but your work sounds kind of like John Michael Talbot's, where he was in folk music and didn't feel filled. He was seeing all the drugs and all the stuff happening in the late 80s that he didn't really buy into, and he was searching. He searched all different kinds of religions. You already had the Catholic faith that you were worshiping, but he kept searching. When he finally found the Catholic faith, he just left everything aside, and he's, what, the number one liturgical musician in the country? He's been focusing on spiritual music.
He's wonderful. I like John very much. Talked to him many times. It's just an individual focus, I think, each musician feels what they're called to. And I think certainly you can make a great difference in just doing meaningful secular music. But for me, it was even a bigger thing than that. I really had a very deep spiritual longing, and I knew that music was a bigger passion for me than actually, you know, the passion to say the Mass and to be a full-time priest. And I had a very loving and very wise bishop told me that he thought I had found a really good way to use my gifts to serve God's people. And he'll never know how much I appreciated that at the time, because there, with the shortage of priests, so many of them were trying to get as many young men as they could into the priesthood. And instead of being, you know, focused on his own goals, he was really able to see what would be most beneficial to me and to utilize my gifts. And I've always appreciated that. And the funny thing was, when I was doing clubs and a lot of secular concerts, you know, all I wanted to do was get on the charts and have a hit record and get attention from the national media and all that. And not a whole lot happened. But but the minute I started the outreach to seniors, I don't know if it's because we were the only organization in this neck of the woods really doing an effort like we were doing as a nonprofit, but we ended up being written up in Time magazine and USA Today and People magazine and even the tabloids and on all the radio shows. And then I ended up having a record on the charts with Leonard Cohen's wonderful song Hallelujah in 2010. So it was during that period that I was recognized by the Giraffe Organization in Washington, which, don't laugh, it's for people who stick their necks out.
Okay, because I was
going to
say it's a bit of an odd name.
Giraffe, see, people who stick their necks out to help others. And instead of a cash award, you know, part of the reward for winning that was a press agent and publicity, and that's how I ended up in Time magazine and many of the big national publications. And then in 2006, we were so honored to win the Mother Teresa Laureate, along with former President Jimmy Carter and Bishop Tutu.
Oh my God, how exciting.
And Billy Graham.
Oh my God,
wonderful,
how inspirational.
Wonderful.
Listen, tell us about your pen pal. I love this story.
Well, I tell you, back when I was trying to transist more from being a full-time commercial performer and clubs and all that into working full-time with the seniors, I was really very insecure, and I wondered if I was doing the right thing and if God indeed was calling me to the priesthood and not to do this or what. That was a very difficult time. And I think one night, I just out of desperation, I reached out and wrote a letter to Mother Teresa of Calcutta after seeing a documentary about her work with the poorest of the poor. And I was so moved by it, I just really poured my heart out to her as if she was my own grandmother and my own certainly spiritual grandmother. And it was a very personal letter, very to the point and very honest about what I was struggling with. And I sent it off, and I had no more thought about it really after that. I just didn't expect any kind of response or anything. 2 months later, a little yellow envelope came with Calcutta, India,
hand
typed in the upper left-hand corner. Well, I did, and I immediately flashed, well, who else could it be? You know, I mean, I'm not pen pals with anybody in India.
Right, exactly.
So I opened the letter very delicately, and there it was, signed in the magic marker, Mother Teresa of Calcutta. And it was such a beautiful response, and, you know, that she was thanking God for his love for me and how I was serving him and the poorest of the poor, and to continue to use God's love to reach out through music and the arts to those who need it the most. And once again, as in Bishop Donovan, instead of trying to steer me in a direction that would have benefited her particular vision, she recognized what I was doing and wanted to celebrate that and wanted to reinforce it. And people don't realize, you know, when you're in a what I call go out on the limb kind of career, where there isn't a whole lot of other role models to make you feel secure in what you're doing, when you get reinforcement from an enormously well-known popular figure like Mother Teresa, it just means the whole world to you.
I can see that.
Plus somebody that I trusted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I trusted her and I believed in her authenticity. And so for her to take time to write to me, and the funny thing is, it actually started a 15 or 20 year correspondence.
I was just going to ask that. 15 years you were writing with Mother Teresa. That's awesome.
The letters got more and more personal. I would send her snapshots of myself and our artists performing. She would write little messages in magic marker in the corner and mail it back to Michigan.
Oh my God.
So it was
I love looking at all the pictures. Well, your website, you know, bobromusic.com. When you go on there and you see and you watch the videos that are on and you see just the genuine smiles and the pleasure that you get the people, especially ones that are shut-ins.
Yep.
You know, I mean, it's just,
I tell you
what you're doing right.
Thank you. And I'm happy and I have peace of mind. So that really tells me, you know, they always used to tell us that the fruit of the right thing is peace of mind. And I think that really is true, because if you're doing what God wants you to do and you're doing what you're in harmony with your own purpose in life, you know it. And likewise, when you're going against the grain, you know it. And I had a lot of wonderful people that I grew up idolizing that wrote to me, like Joan Baez and Judy Collins and people that in the music business that I've been friends with for a long time. And then they were wonderful, but somehow Mother Teresa's affirmation, because I'm Catholic and and that is really the basis of why I do everything I do.
Yeah.
As she used to say, if she was just secular, she'd be a social worker. And it's the reason we do this is because of our love for God and our belief. You know, whether other people understand that or not, it's my motivation.
Oh, I think there's plenty of people that will be motivated and inspired by what you've been doing for the last, 30, 40 years now?
Long time. I am excited because, you know, just to keep a foot in folk music, it's really a fun thing that the biggest bluegrass rec radio promoter in the world is doing a big radio release in the end of February to 1,400 folk and bluegrass and Americana and root stations. And they're putting me on there with Judy Collins. So I'm really excited.
Oh, you'll have to send me the email about that information.
I need to send it to all my folk friends, my folk music lovers.
She's an inspiration
to me.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I'm sorry about that. Go ahead. I'm sorry what you're saying. Please.
Well, I was just going to say she's a double inspiration to me because I grew up idolizing her, but it's so cool that at the age of 80 years young, her new album was just on the number one on the bluegrass charts for 3 weeks.
Seriously.
And even though she had songs way up on the charts with Both Sides Now and Sending the Clowns and Amazing Grace back in the day, this was her first number one. And I'm just tickled pink that it's happened at this point in her career.
Listen, when you got it, you got it.
I get to be on this big radio release with Judy. Yay.
I was going to say, when you got it, you got it. And she's got it. And she's been around all that time, too. So tell me.
Well, when her manager assistant called me about it, I was so excited.
I would be, too. So let's talk about your albums and your experiences with writing poetry as well and how that all fits in, because I know you've been around for such a long time that you've written like 22 albums. Was that after you started to do this endeavor? And then,
you know, it's kind of dovetailed. Regina, I really did, mentioning poetry, I really did start out with poetry. As a kid, I remember even writing a poem about my Christmas tree and the decorations.
How lovely.
And all that. My mom used to call me the original Christmas kid, so it was always a big time of year for me. But you know that everything kind of dovetailed. I've always had the love for the elderly since school, but you know, the need to make a living, you know, necessitated that I work in commercial clubs and things in order to pay the bills. And it was only up until about, like you said, 30 years ago when I was able to organize this into a major full-time thing, where we were able to get funding and proceeds to continue to do over 120 programs a year, which is a lot.
I know, it sounds amazing. And
have our other 30 artists working with us. Sure.
Let me ask you a question. With all of the changes in the music industry and the television industry, and now it's all about, you know, podcasts and streaming, you've been on so many different things. How have you seen the progression change? And have you gotten more exposure now with all the internet and people all over the world?
Well, let me tell you, yes, I have. And I laugh all the time because I keep saying every year I'm going, okay, this is it. I'm done. I'm retiring.
And
every year the offers keep doubling and more and more things keep coming to me. And I always say to myself, well, if Judy can go out there trucking around the world at 80, I can still do it in my 60s.
Yeah. You know? You'll be keeping up with them and with James Taylor. Don't worry about it. You're going to still so
successful. I never believed in comparing anyway. I think that's the curse of death for artists. I think people need to develop their own thing. And
no, I'm just talking about you're still out. As youthful and bigger as all the rest of the ones.
Bless you.
Yeah, that are out
How
there.
Much do I have to send you?
Oh my God. So tell me what's next on the agenda for you.
Well, unbelievable. Well, our wonderful friends at Shalom World Television are supposed to be coming back in April, May,
really?
Or somewhere in that vicinity to do a feature-length film about me.
Oh, no. Oh, that's so exciting.
Yeah, long one, a half hour or an hour long.
Oh, my God. That's wonderful.
If that works out. And then, of course, I have the big radio release at the end of February with Judy Collins and other well-known folk performers. I'm going to be doing a first feature-length album in several years with the Green Valley Boys, who are in the Country Music Hall of Fame. And that's going to come out towards next Christmas. So we'll be working on that this summer. And then in the meantime, lots of tours and other television shows. And the creme de la creme, the apple on the cake, you may be able to watch me on your local PBS affiliate soon.
Really?
Because they are working on a documentary about me for PBS television.
Oh, my God, that's wonderful.
Well, like I said, so we're going to be finishing that.
Oh, like I said, you just got such a unique and outreach, and it brings just so much joy to people that that's something PBS should acknowledge. And we should all rejoice on that because it's a wonderful thing you
do. Thank you. We're all getting older in this country, and I think there's demographically there's going to be more older people. And I think it's a subject that people can really relate to because most all of us have a loved one or know of a loved one in a care facility.
Right.
And we can all relate to the humanity of it too, you know, of this could be all of us. We could all be sitting day in, day out in a facility staring at four walls with no joy, no one to visit us or nothing to look forward to. And you can imagine what that does for people in that position to have peppy and upbeat musicians come in with smiles on their faces, singing really fun songs. And what we've noticed is a lot of the elderly residents that won't come out of their rooms for anything else will all come out for music. So there's something about music that reaches into the heart and soul of all of us. You know, no matter what kind of music, it really captures all of us.
You're bringing up a good point. Are there other people throughout the country that do this as well? Do you kind of communicate with them and you share stories? Do you have a little, for lack of a better word, clique or industry or whatever? I don't know.
I do. I laugh. I tell reporters this all the time. I say, every time one of you guys calls from New York and I end up in a big national magazine like Time Magazine, I go, aha, God's going to use us to send us $1 million donation. And what happens? Every starving artist in America writes to me for a job.
The opposite. Okay, so, we understand.
I know. And one of the times I was in the National Enquirer, believe it or not, just for what I do, for singing for the elderly, my mother said, you can't be in that. They're going to say you're having an alien baby with Oprah or something. You know? And I'd say, no, Mom, they sound really sincere. And sure enough, it was some of the best articles. But one of the tabloids put my cell phone number in the article.
Oh my God.
Which was just there for communication with the editors. And then I had all sorts of interesting calls from all over the country, but nothing about a $1 million donation. So there you go.
What has been the most rewarding concert you've ever done? Do you have any?
Oh,
or is it just everyone?
Well,
is just unique?
Believe it or not, there is one that stands out in my mind. There was a big facility in Northern Michigan that was run by the Sisters of Mercy. And I don't know why this touched me so much, but it's not that different than a lot of the circumstances, but it just did. There was a semicircle, and I was standing in front of the people, and at the far right-hand end, there was a lady slumped down in her wheelchair, really out of it. And, you know, and the poor thing, you just would have sworn she had already left the world, and she was just kind of non-responsive to anything. And I was young and I was determined, and I kept going over to that, singing "This Little Light of Mine, I'm Going to Let It Shine." And I knelt down by her wheelchair and looked up into her eyes, and she lifted her head up so slowly and just lit up with the biggest smile you ever saw in your life and opened her eyes. And 2 weeks later, the staff were calling me from there saying, "You've got to come back. She's going to wear us out with this little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine."
Get another earworm in her head, please.
No, I know. So
did you give her a private concert?
Well, it kind of was, because she was up in front and I kept going over there to her.
Oh,
but it's stories like that that maybe the world wouldn't look at as very significant. But when you're talking about somebody that really hasn't talked in weeks or smiled or opened her eyes, and then to be sitting up straight, smiling and singing, it's very significant. Right. And I thank God for that, because it's God that I see in that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it isn't the big New York experiences I would mention, but things like that that really touch my heart.
As they say, it's the simple things in life that get us through. Supporting each other in the simple things.
Yeah, and I've sung at St. Bartholomew's Cathedral on 51st and Park Avenue in New York City, and Holy Name Cathedral in Chicago where the Pope was, and I've sung in some pretty lofty places, but. And I've appreciated the loving comments afterwards, but the moments seeing an elderly person's face light up who hasn't smiled or talked in a long time, that is irreplaceable. That is God.
Yeah.
That's
you
God.
Can see, like you say, you can just see God looking right back at you, acknowledging
That's
your
right.
existence
yep.
and what you're meant to do.
And I always say in my heart, my dear and my gentle Jesus, I'm so glad to serve you, and thank you for the smile.
Oh, I love that. Say that again, please, without me talking.
I say, my dear God, I am so happy to serve you. My dear and gentle Jesus, thank you for the smile.
Okay, everybody who's listening, you need to memorize that. That's absolutely lovely. Did you come up with that? That's absolutely lovely.
Well, it's the truth. That's what I say in my heart when I see something like that happen. I see God in it, and I thank the Lord that I'm able to play some tiny little role in it. And
Does anybody else help you with this, or do you just do this?
We have 30 different artists and performers that work with us. So we have bluegrass groups, we have folk musicians, we have people that sing Broadway songs. We have a lot of different people, and we have a very modest budget, so we can always use support and contributions. But I've chosen to keep our mission small, because the problem with Regina with growing too big. The bigger you get, the more strings are attached and the more stuff gets caught up in bureaucracy and red tape. And what happens then is your mission suffers. Mm-hmm. You end up taking too much time away from the reason you did what you're doing to begin with, and you're spending too much time on bookwork and fundraising and answering questions to the higher ups about where the money goes and everything. And it's just it's just too stressful, and so I'd rather have our organization stay modest in size and do a big work for God.
Tell me, Bob, how can people support you if they do want to send you some money? Obviously,
well, that would be lovely, and every amount helps, and no matter how big and how small. There's a donation button actually on our website on www.visioncouncil.org/Bob Rowe. They can also Google me, Bob, R-O-W-E, or Renaissance Enterprises, and all the links will come up, and our office address is listed online. We're not hard to find. So
I was
going to
say, there's a group, there's not a group, there's an app now that's called Patreon, So, I mean, you could also do like PayPal and Patreon where people can contribute even just 10 bucks a month.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. That would be, yeah.
You should look
absolutely.
Into that. These wonderful sources for artists.
Well, I think our donation button is hooked up to PayPal.
Okay. And well, look in the Patreon then.
I will definitely. It's a great idea. We're also AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. So if anybody wants to look into our standing in the legal community, we're in very good standing with all of the Better Business Bureaus, the GuideStar, and all the other things for nonprofits.
Oh, well, Bob, you know, you have been such a delight to talk to. I know you have to run because you have a meeting coming up, and I don't want to infringe upon that, but I can really tell you that I wish there were more people in this world like you that's willing to dedicate their lives to helping others in the missions for Christ, what Christ wanted for all of us to do.
Well, thank you. I think they're out there. I just don't think they get a whole lot of attention anymore.
Well, I'm going to try. This is my little podcast, but I'm going to try.
Your little podcast is wonderful. You've put a smile on this guy's face for the whole week.
Thank you
for what you do and for your ministry and all of the things that you've worked through and still managed to smile and continue to persevere. You're an inspiration.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Oh, well, Bob, thanks
again.
Please
remember us in your prayers.
Oh, as well as me. Thank you so much, and have a wonderful day.
You too. God bless you.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
My thanks again to Bob Rowe for being a wonderful guest. I really appreciate him taking the time to talk to us. Next week, we'll have another inspiring story. But until then, be blessed, everyone.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by A few minutes each day can change your life during Lent. Ave Maria Press offers booklets for daily devotion, reflection, and more from such best-selling authors as Gary Zemak, Greg Kandra, Father Michael White, and Tom Corcoran, and so many more. Looking for Stations of the Cross booklets or books that are perfect for small groups? We have those too. Head over to AveMariaPress.com and use code LENT20 to get 20% off your order today. Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small batch artisan coffee using top tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Breadbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.